Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Should Christians or Mormons participate in the Hare Krishna Holi Festival of Colors? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Now, I can tell you, Eric, this is going to be an edgy program because when I ask that question, I've probably already convicted a lot of Christians that are probably listening to us right now because they have been to the Holi Festival, which is held in Spanish Fork, which is about 40 minutes south of Salt Lake City. They've joined in with, what, over 100,000 revelers that go to this thing every year. And this weekend, they're going to be holding this Festival of Colors. I've been there. I went there with Aaron, who works with MRM. Aaron wanted to do a little bit of street preaching to people that were attending. I told him beforehand, I can guarantee you it's going to be a rough crowd. Certainly it was, because the revelers had no problem throwing chalk in Aaron's face when he was trying to tell them about what this festival is really all about. I saw people wearing BYU baseball caps, BYU sweatshirts. I saw crosses around people's necks. Now, I know that a lot of people who wear a cross probably have no clue as to what that really means, but there are a lot of Christians who do, so I'm going to assume that at least some of them were Christians. And the big question is should we as Christians participate in something like this? Now, the Mormon, you can pretty much do whatever you want, but we're really kind of directing these shows to those that are professing Christians, that believe that Jesus has forgiven them of their sins, they believe the biblical message, and they have professed a faith in the Jesus of the Bible. What is this all about? Because a lot of people probably have no idea other than it's just a time to go and get involved in a musical beat and throw chalk at each other.
Imagine thousands of people listening to different bands every hour throwing chalk up in the air and getting themselves painted. It sounds like a lot of fun. And they advertise it as introduction to spring and celebration of new life. But this is not a celebration of new life. It's a pagan holiday. It's a Hindu holiday that has gone back many, many years. It commemorates Krishna in his youth when he was turned blue because he drank milk that was poisoned. And so he turned blue.
It was poisoned breast milk, we're going to be specific.
Well, okay. I didn't want to say it on the radio, but since you did, I guess we're there. And so he didn't think any of the girls would like him. And so there was this girl named Radha. She ends up playfully coloring his face with this chalk, well, with this color. And since then, it's been known as the Holi Festival. And this temple that was built in Spanish Fork in 2002, and by the way, thousands of Mormons helped with that. They gave money to this to help build this facility.
Yeah, youth groups were actually going down there from, I remember when this was actually built, and they were helping with the landscape and such. Now, this is the temple that has Ganesha, the stone elephant that they worship there. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, and they have all the different deities there, and they take care of them just like they would at any other Hare Krishna temple. Hare Krishna has only been around since the 1960s when the founder came from India, stowed away on a boat, and got here in 1965 in New York. There's probably fewer than a million members probably in the entire world. It's not a huge religion, but they have a lot of influence, and they have gotten the people of Utah so excited, so much so, that this festival is known as being the largest in the world for Holi. The Holi Festival in Spanish Fork is bigger than anywhere in the world except possibly in India, and they celebrate over 16 days, not 2 days. If you watch the videos, we have a website article that if people are interested to learn more, we're going to talk a little bit today and tomorrow on this. But it's mrm.org/Hari, H-A-R-E hyphen Krishna, K-R-I-S-H-N-A. It's going to be on the top of our website. But if you go there, you can see not only the pictures and the words that I wrote, but also I've linked several YouTubes from last year taken by people who were there at the festival. And I want you to watch closely as very clearly the people who go there probably are not members. Most of the people that you saw, you said there probably were more Christians and Mormons there.
Well, you know, it was really funny too, is because when Aaron was down there and he's trying to talk and preach to the people that are there, a lot of the Mormons I know has kind of ignored him. The Christians tend to ignore him, but there were atheists. Now, that cracked me up, because here are these atheists going to this festival celebrating this pagan deity, and yet atheists pride themselves as being so much smarter than religious folk because they don't believe in any of these kind of pagan ideas, but yet here they are participating in it. And you might ask, well, how do I know that they were atheists? Because when Aaron was mentioning putting your trust in the Jesus of the Bible, you would hear these people yell out, well, there is no God, Jesus isn't God, and all this other kind of stuff, showing that they certainly weren't Christian believers.
One of the things about this organization is called ISKCON for short. It teaches in monism. Monism is the idea that there's a series of reincarnated lives that we all have to live to break away from what's called samsara. And samsara is the endless cycle of birth, life, and then death. And the goal in this religion is to attain what's called Krishna consciousness. To be able to get to Krishna consciousness, you do that several ways. One is through bhakti yoga, which is very important in this religion. You can go for yoga classes over at the temple if you'd like, and they'll teach you how to do that. But also to recite their what's called the Maha Mantra or Sankirtana. The Maha Mantra is recited 1,728 times a day. It's the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. It's a whole series of using three words, Hare Krishna and Rama.
And if that sounds familiar, you might recall a very famous song by George Harrison, who was a member of the Beatles.
1970, he came out with that and was a closet follower of this religion. And in fact, that song is really what took this religion off in 1970. The founder died in 1977. Today, even people are interested in this religion because they remember that song.
Now, you mentioned the person who founded it died in 1977. Let's give a little bit of background here, because the founder of this religion, he's known as His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. I know that's a big mouthful, but that's basically who this guy is. Now, you were saying that he came over here. What time did that happen?
He came to New York in 1965 with a few dollars in his pocket. He had suffered two heart attacks because he had stowed away on a ship from India to America, 35-day journey. It was a really rough trip. Nobody was waiting there for him or anything else, but because he had charisma, a 70-year-old man goes around and he ends up renting a storefront in New York, and it takes off. He ends up going to San Francisco. He establishes a group there. He ends up traveling around the world eight times over the next 12 years or so. And they said that he only slept 3 hours a day because he was so intent on getting out the name of Krishna, which is the one God. They believe they're monotheistic. And so the one God that has, in the last 5,000 years, made appearances through incarnations through different people. And the last time that happened was a guy named Caitanya in the 15th century. And so his guru many, many years ago had said, you need to be the one who gets this guy's name out and about so everybody will know about it. And we want them to be able to chant, because the way that you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 1,728 times, or 108 cycles you have to do. And if you do that, then you'll have better Krishna consciousness. So what, Bill, are they going to do? When you are invited to go to Spanish Fork to go see a chalk-throwing festival, you're going to be singing songs along with the singers, and that will be the Maha Mantra. When you start hearing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, when you start hearing those words, they will have you singing it. Check out the YouTubes. You'll see the music music is methodic. It has a beat to it. It's something that you want to sing along to, and you're singing the praise to Krishna, which is a Hindu deity. They do not believe in the same kind of monotheism that Christianity believes. When we go to church, we sing the name of Jesus, and I think that's an important name for us to sing. Why would I, as a Christian, want to go to a place like this because of throwing chalk, and then I get to sing praises to a deity like this? I think this is a very dangerous situation.
Well, now, there's probably a lot of Christians that are listening to us thinking, oh, man, what a bunch of wet blankets. Good grief. We're not really thinking about a pagan god. We're just there to throw chalk. Let me ask you, Christian, if that's the attitude that you have, can you, for a minute, imagine the Apostle Paul attending something like this for the festivities? I can imagine the Apostle Paul attending something like that to do basically what Aaron did. But I cannot imagine the Apostle Paul enjoying that kind of a thing, because I'll tell you, when I was there, I was actually grieved by what I saw, because I saw thousands of people, many of them professing a certain kind of faith that I don't think allows for this.
Right.
Ignoring their faith and turning their face towards this pagan religion, all in the name of fun. I just don't see a lot of consistency in that. Isn't there something else you could do besides this? Why would you want to put yourself in that kind of a situation?
Maybe go get some chalk from the store, ground it up, and throw it at each other, if that's really what you want to do. But to be with all of these people in such a situation, I think it's a dangerous situation, and I don't understand why that would be attractive. But I wasn't there last year, you were, and you said a lot of Latter-day Saints as well, and I think I would ask the same thing. Is this something that your leaders would want you to attend, to be singing praise to Krishna and participate in a pagan festival? That's what it boils down to.
Well, I would think that if we as Christians are admonished not even to eat meat that's been offered to idols, I can also assume that we are certainly not to participate in those kind of ceremonies. I remember when we went to the Hare Krishna temple in San Diego many years ago, we refused to eat the food that they provided to us because they told us this has been offered to our God. And so we wouldn't do that. And that's what we're admonished in the New Testament. We're not to do that. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. If we've ticked you off, we hope that you'll tune in again.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.